Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, over the past few years, our country has been through a lot as COVID literally changed our lives. Together, we witnessed churches and businesses closing their doors, some temporarily, some permanently, as we all were asked to stay home and, quote unquote, slow the spread. Many large events, vacations, weddings, all canceled, postponed, or radically changed due to the pandemic. But the sanctions that were imposed on citizens worldwide during the COVID pandemic pale in comparison to the potential loss of our sovereignty at the hands of a powerful foreign agency known as the World Health Organization. So what's really at stake, and what can we as Christian Americans do about it? Well, that's the topic of today's program here on Family Talk. First, we'll take you back to a previous conversation featuring our own Dr. James Dobson and the Honorable Michelle Bachmann discussing the challenges that lie ahead for our nation and how the World Health Organization may directly impact the lives of every American. Then we'll listen in on Michelle's latest conversation with our guest Reggie Littlejohn as they evaluate what's on the horizon regarding an upcoming vote at the 77th World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland. So now, let's join Dr. James Dobson and the Honorable Michelle Bachmann right here, right now, on Family Talk.
The information that you have to share with our listeners concerns every family in the nation, and it concerns the World Health Organization, called WHO. The Biden administration is about to do something that will affect every family in the nation. Why don't you give us an overview of what's about to happen if somebody doesn't stop it?
Well, that's right. And Jim, what is about to happen is that the Biden administration is leading the charge at the United Nations. The healthcare arm of the United Nations is called the World Health Organization. And what the Biden administration wants to do is take United States decision-making authority and give it to the United Nations. And not just the United States, but all 194 nations in the world. The Biden administration is proposing amendments that would transfer the sovereign authority of every nation to make decisions over healthcare. And that decision-making power would transfer to the World Health Organization. What does this mean? Well, just think about the last 3 years under the COVID pandemic, where we saw local governments, state governments, our federal government make pronouncements that businesses had to close down. We were all told we had to sit at home with the doors shut for 15 days to slow the spread. Well, we've passed 3 years now since that happened, and we still are living under those emergency powers. It is an extraordinary, breathtaking level of power that the United States government took over its people in the last 3 years, closing down businesses, closing down schools, mandating that churches had to close, that school children couldn't go to school. This level of emergency power is what I'm talking about, Dr. Dobson. And the Biden administration wants to take that power and give it to the World Health Organization, the UN.
Unbelievable.
And now they would have the power to shut us down in the United States and tell us if we have to have a shot in our arm or tell us if we have to wear masks or a number of other things they would have the power to do. Effectively, Dr. Dobson, that is transferring sovereignty over the United States to the UN. And for the first time in history, we would create a platform for global governance. If I said that a few years ago, people would think I wore a tinfoil hat. But today, I'm not saying it. Not once, but twice. The head of the Communist Party of China, Xi Jinping, himself said that China will be leading the global government And they're serious about that because they're the ones who control and direct the World Health Organization.
Michelle, I read something that you wrote just a few weeks ago that really says it all for me. You said the bottom line for the World Health Organization issue is the Biden administration is leading the global effort for 194 UN member nations. This is a worldwide effort, and its purpose is to transfer individual national decision-making sovereignty over healthcare decisions to the World Health Organization, which, of course, is the healthcare arm of the United Nations. And you can bet abortion figures into it in a big way.
Yes, that's right. Because the definitions are so vague that a healthcare crisis could be considered almost anything. In fact, in the last week of May in Geneva, Switzerland, the World Health Assembly will meet. All 194 nations are there. And the Biden administration has been trying to persuade all of the nations to get together and agree to transfer sovereign authority to the World Health Organization. And when they do that, transfer that authority, it won't mean that we'll have co-authority. It will end our authority. You can know that our president will also enforce the dictates. And how do we know that? Look at the last 3 years. Whatever the World Health Organization issued, that's what our American Centers for Disease Control did. We've already done that under the Biden administration.
You've just heard a conversation Dr. James Dobson and I had regarding the World Health Organization. My name is Michelle Bachman. I'm dean at the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. We're a strongly academic and biblical worldview university, but I also serve on the board of directors here at the James Dobson Family Institute. I've been sounding the alarm for the last 2 years about the World Health Organization and their hidden agenda to take away our freedoms and liberties here in the United States and for people around the world. In May, the World Health Organization, which is the healthcare arm of the United Nations, they'll be gathering in Geneva, Switzerland to vote on the proposed pandemic agreements and the proposed amendments to the international health regulations. That sounds boring, but it isn't boring because we need to know that any changes that come from this vote in late May, these changes could directly affect our lives and take away our freedoms here in the United States today. So today, my guest is Reggie Littlejohn. Reggie is the founder and the president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers. Reggie is also a graduate of Yale Law School. She's an international expert on China's one-child policy. Now it's called the three-child policy. But she's also the co-founder of the Sovereignty Coalition. It's a nonpartisan group that's determined to protect and defend United States national sovereignty and our personal health care freedoms against these new regulations that are being proposed by the United Nations. So with that, welcome to Family Talk, Reggie. And I want you to know Dr. James Dobson and his wife, Shirley, both send you their high regards.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. And I send them my high regards as well. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're delighted. I know that you and I have worked together on this issue through the Sovereignty Coalition on the World Health Organization. You and I have been to the United States Congress together. We have given briefings and updates to members of the United States Senate and members of the United States House. I know as a result of that, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin has been a strong voice advocating for maintaining national sovereignty over our health care rights, but also we've seen actual hearings held in the United States House of Representatives. And that's because our listeners have made phone calls. They've melted the phone lines in Washington, D.C. over this issue because of the previous updates we've given with Dr. James Dobson. So today, Reggie, we need you to bring our listeners up to date on a general overview of where we're at with the World Health Organization and the United States' effort to maintain our freedoms over our healthcare decisions. What is this all about, Reggie?
Well, thank you, Michelle. What it's about is that in May, specifically May 27th to June 2nd, the World Health Assembly is going to be meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, and they're going to be voting on two instruments. One is amendments to the international health regulations. The other one is the new pandemic treaty. They've been working on this for several years, and they are scheduled to vote on it in May. And what these two instruments together will do is that they will seriously damage our national sovereignty and all but destroy our personal medical freedom in the case of a pandemic. So in the international health regulations, for example, if the World Health Organization gets everything that they want, they will have the ability, if there is a pandemic, they will have the ability to tell your doctor what medications you can have, what medications you can't have, what medications you must have. In other words, they want the ability to have vaccine mandates. And they want the ability to have mask mandates. They want to be able to order the United States and the whole world, 194 nations that are members of the World Health Organization, mandate quarantines, mandate lockdowns. They want the ability to tell countries whether they need to shut their borders. And all of this is going to reside in the decision of somebody named Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. He's not a medical doctor. No dictator in all of history has ever had the power that he would have, and he would have it because of the technology that they can use to enforce this. So part of this, Michelle, is that they want, and they are currently rolling out, digital IDs. So the World Health Organization is working with the European Union to roll out digital IDs. And if you look on the World Economic Forum website, there's a chart on the digital ID. And the pretext for rolling these out is that we need to track, you know, if people are vaccinated, or we need to see whether anyone is sick. So the pretext is a healthcare issue. But what it will actually do is, if you look on that chart, you will need a digital ID to access your healthcare, to open a bank account, to carry on financial transactions, to travel, to own a computer or a cell phone, to participate in social media, to vote, to pay your taxes. And so this is the enforcement mechanism.
So these are an awful lot of things. And so here in the United States today, we make the decisions over our own health care. We make the decisions over our own banking. We make the decisions over our own travel. And you're talking to us now about a digital ID, that there's something new that we're looking at. So let's just go back a little bit with all the things that you went through. Today, we make our own decisions. And so right. When they meet in May of 2024 in Geneva, Switzerland, the United States is a party. We're one of the 194 nations that's a part of the World Health Assembly. That's the governing board over the World Health Organization. When they meet, they have these proposed amendments to the international health rules, and they have a pandemic treaty. They're taking up both of them and presumably will vote on them. And what you're saying is that in these international health rules that are proposed and in the pandemic treaty, the United States, together with the other 194 nations of the world, would be giving away our authority and decision-making over healthcare decisions, over travel decisions, over all these other decisions. All of this power would be transferred to the World Health Organization. Is that what you're saying, Reggie?
Yes. Okay. In a nutshell, that is what I'm saying. So that's why we founded, I co-founded the Sovereignty Coalition together with Frank Gaffney, because what this does is if he's going to tell us what we must do as a country in the case of a healthcare crisis, that is an abrogation of our national sovereignty. And if he's going to tell each individual, like almost like he's sitting in, you know, your doctor's office with you, what you must take and what you cannot take, and what approach you have to your healthcare in case of a pandemic, that is an abrogation of our personal medical freedom.
Well, it sounds like, Reggie, they're not just saying what you have to do. They're telling doctors what they have to do. So it sounds like medical professionals will lose their independent right to make their best decision about your health care needs.
We saw some of that already in the COVID-19 pandemic, where if a doctor wanted to prescribe something to you that they didn't like, for example, ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, that they could lose their license. And we know people who did lose their licenses because they felt that these were life-saving medications and they prescribed them and they lost their license because of that. And also, it's not just about healthcare. It has to do with anything that could possibly affect health. So there's something that's in these documents.
This sounds pretty widespread, just dealing with our health care decisions. What other sorts of things would that include?
So there's something called One Health that's in these documents. And what it does is it connects human health to animal health, to plant health, to the environment. So anything that affects any of those aspects is something that they want under their jurisdiction. And things that can happen that can affect human health, and including our companion animals. Companion animals are specifically mentioned in the draft pandemic treaty that is currently under consideration.
So the World Health Organization, the United Nations, would be calling the shots for our pets?
That's what's in there. I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, it really concerns me, Michelle, because, for example, I have three little canaries and a baby parrot, and if there's some kind of an avian flu, what are they going to do? Come in with hazmat suits and, like, euthanize my little, you know, birds? They did things like that in China, by the way, in Shanghai.
Well, what we saw happen during COVID in China was absolutely jaw-dropping, because we saw, for instance, for something like 64 days, the city of Shanghai was shut down under lock and key. People literally were not allowed to leave their apartments. Their doors were nailed shut. And I know this sounds bizarre, but there were YouTube videos of people standing on their balconies in their apartments screaming at night because they were locked inside. We think of anyone who's held in captivity and what that would mean. But that was the level of power that just the Chinese government held over their people. And the interesting thing, and I know you're well aware of this, Reggie, is that the acting general of the World Health Organization, Tedros Ghebreyesus, he's really under the control of the Communist Chinese Party. So if these international health rules do pass in the end of May, and if the pandemic treaty as proposed passes in the end of May, and the power over our healthcare decision-making moves over to the United Nations to make the calls, it looks like there may be undue influence from the Communist Chinese over the World Health Organization, and they may be calling the shots for what happens in the United States. And what's concerning is the number one enemy of China in the world is the United States. And so if they want to do harm to the United States, what better way to do it than through restricting our rights through the World Health Organization? Because you said that Americans, in order to be able to do anything in the future under these proposed international health rules and under the pandemic treaty, will be issued a digital ID. What will the digital ID look like and how will it work, Reggie?
The digital ID will just be like a QR code on your phone, and you will need it to access, like get into a restaurant, buy food, carry on bank transactions, get into an Uber or a taxi, pay your taxes. I mean, it's all the things I mentioned in that chart. And the thing also, Michelle, is that these digital IDs are meant to be international and interoperable, which means that they will be readable by every nation in the world, including the Chinese Communist Party. So it is a situation where the Chinese Communist Party can even have an impact on an individual's life. For example, you mentioned that in the beginning, my mission was to stop forced abortion in China. I have been a China human rights critic for decades. And, you know, so all my information is going to be available to the Chinese Communist Party. And they could just say, oh, well, you know, we don't like Reggie, so we're going to turn off our ID. And then I will not be able to access healthcare. If they do that to you, and they can do it to anyone, they can do it to anyone. If you refuse to be vaccinated or get the latest booster, if you criticize the government. And this is another thing. In these documents, they have sections called surveillance and censorship. So they're going to be surveilling even our social media posts and censoring what they call misinformation and disinformation, which is basically anything that the World Health Organization disagrees with.
Well, and that's the cancel culture on an international level. And what's breathtaking is to think that the United States government is in favor of this. So many of our listeners lived through the COVID pandemic and through the lockdowns. And through all of the restrictions, churches were shut down. Many people were told by their employer they had to get vaccinated or they would lose their job. And then people walked around with little white cards that showed what vaccine they got. And in order to be able to get on planes to fly internationally, they'd have to show that they were vaccinated. So now, rather than little white paper cards, now on our cell phone, we would have a QR code. And this isn't far-fetched because in China, this is how the citizenry of China has to live today. They're surveilled today by their government. If they want to travel or if they want to do banking, if they want to get on public transportation systems, they have to show the QR code on their phone. This happened in Europe, for instance, during COVID. I was in Europe. I saw the QR codes that people had to use in order to get on public transportation. As a matter of fact, in order to get into an Aldi in London, people had to show that they were in compliance with the requisite number of vaccines in order to be able to buy food. So the average family is going to be dramatically impacted because we're going to lose our rights to make decisions over ourselves and our rights to travel freely. So what can the listeners do about it, Reggie?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, President Trump did withdraws from the World Health Organization, but it takes a year to get out. And so then by the time that year was up, President Biden was already in office and put us right back in. This needs to be a major election issue. The Biden administration and the World Health Organization are trying to ram these instruments through. And I want to say this, they have broken their own rules. There's something called Article 55 in the Standing International Health Regulations that requires any proposed amendment to be disclosed to the nations 4 months in advance of the vote, which passed on January 27th. And we still haven't seen any kind of a finalized draft. No. I believe that they're going to be finalizing these things the weekend ahead of time. And what that does is it makes it impossible for civil society to consider it and weigh the pros and cons. I believe that it should be the position of the U.S. government that this vote must be delayed because they broke their own rules. And people should call their representatives and say, number one, we should withdraw from, defund the World Health Organization. And another thing that people can do is go on to sovereigntycoalition.org and sign our declaration. And there's a tab there that's called Action. You can read the action items and take action.
Thank you, Reggie. Well, the average family and the average person listening to this show today, we can all do something about this. We can all pick up our phone. We can all call our representative in the United States Congress, our senator in the United States Congress, and tell them what our feelings are about this. We want them not to vote for this in the end of May. And unfortunately, the current administration is taking the posture of changing rules in a way that will take away our sovereignty and our rights in the United States. So we need to remember that when we go into the voting booth this fall, and that should motivate us to get as many people as we can out to the voting booth, inform our churches, inform our Bible study groups, our prayer clubs about this. And can this be undone? Yes, it can be undone. If we can switch administrations, we can do something about it. Don't despair. We can win this battle by faith. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of this show today.
And thank you so much for having me, Michelle, and also for the huge leadership role that you have taken in this space as well. Thank you very much.
Well, we all certainly can do our part in working to protect our freedoms. And remember, we should also bring our intentions to the Lord in prayer as well. You've been listening to an important conversation featuring Michelle Bachman and her guest, Reggie Littlejohn, here on Family Talk. If you'd like to spread the word about the upcoming vote by the World Health Assembly, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. You can do so easily using the JDFI Family Talk app or by visiting drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. While you're there, you can also find a free downloadable PDF that explains what's at stake for our nation. You can print out as many copies of that PDF as you'd like and share them with whomever you choose. As we stand united with the Lord, we can bring about positive change. And keep in mind to also check out Gary Bauer's outstanding podcast. Gary's our Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. His podcast is covering this WHO vote as well. And you can find the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast at drjamesdobson.org. I'm Roger Marsh, and I hope you have a peaceful and blessed weekend. May God continue to richly bless you and your family as you grow stronger in your relationship with Him. And be sure to join us again on Monday, right here, for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.